Look, I mean, this is another escalation of this already quite bad scenario. We have heard this, and my organization is monitoring the situation. We have not yet seen, luckily, any foreign fighters from Syria arriving on the Russian side. What happens, however, is that there are right-wing extremist groups from Russia who have arrived on the Russian side. So this is now slowly developing into more of a mutual insurgency operation, where violence is just simply going to spiral further and further and further out of control.
Now, if these foreign fighters were to agree and arrive in Russia, what would we expect from them?
Look, I mean, I can only assume that these are troops loyal to the Assad regime, which I think I don't really need to characterize for your listeners. Respect for human rights, Geneva Convention, acting like a normal soldier would, all not really happening. It is really important to understand there is already a Chechen Special Forces unit with a very similar track record, if you look at what's going on in Chechnya. Already on the ground, verifiably on the ground, because there's video material showing them on the ground in Ukraine. So basically, this is just simply another indication that Russia is, rather than tactical finesse and exploiting its clear technological advantage, is now switching towards terror as and an absolute ruthlessness in its military strategy to a certain extent.
When we talk about terrorism, we can imagine that almost anything would be on the table for these groups and these organizations that Putin is trying to call to come there. And you've laid out basically what they do, how they act. But people that are on the ground, humanitarian organizations and civilians and people from other countries that are there to help, they need to be aware of this, right?
It is really important. It really is important because there are no rules then, right? There's also, the Chechens don't have any rules. So if you are the UN, unless they're specifically ordered not to do this, they will have no composure attacking you as a humanitarian actor. If you're a humanitarian actor on the Ukrainian side, even less so. So yeah, this would be a problem. Luckily, as I said, we have not yet seen them arrive. But in the last few months, we all had to learn that whatever Russia says, Russia is going to do. However strange and crazy and against their own self-interest this may be in the long run.
So, looking at this situation in Ukraine, comparing it to, say, in Iraq, comparing it to a Syria, comparing it to a Chechnya, what do you expect if this unfortunately does unfold the way that it typically does when terrorism is introduced into a conflict?
Look, unfortunately, all of the behavioral patterns of the Russian side displayed in Chechnya, displayed in Syria, are already quite visible in Ukraine. Bombing of civilian areas to ensure that you grind down resistance, opening of humanitarian corridors, and then firing on them. So I'm not sure if there is much more difference left to what we have seen in Syria and in Iraq and in Chechnya. If you look at the state of some of the cities that they've been bombarding and some of the outskirts of the cities, it looks like Grozny did. It looks like Aleppo does. So it is really difficult. Obviously, there is a discussion, and hopefully this is just a rumor, of potential false flags attacks, which would then terror attacks, which would then give an excuse to even further escalate from the Russian side. So be aware of terror attacks that may or may not happen, being used as an excuse for even further escalation, because clearly it's not going according to plan. It's not going to go well. And under these current circumstances, no one can point to any positive outcome for the Russian side at this point. Where is the point where they would be able to declare victory? Even if they get Kiev, they're not going to run this country. The Ukrainian population, including the Russian parts of the population, which Putin ostensibly wants to save and free from tyranny, are resisting. So whoever he puts in power, The only way he would be able to control the Ukraine is by a massive army. And as the US army learned in Iraq, a smaller country than Ukraine, 100, 200,000 people to control a country is not enough. He will need multitudes of these numbers, which he doesn't have. So I don't see where the good outcome here is. I honestly don't see a way out.
Yeah. Anything you want to add to this that I haven't asked you about that you think is important?
It is really important we have a broad-ranging discussion of people going to join Ukraine on the military side. And there is a lot of arguments that simply get dumped together that make it very easy for the Russian propaganda to exploit this. So it's really important to distinguish between three groups of individuals who are going to Ukraine. The vast majority, several 10,000, Ukrainian nationals who go to join the army there. Then there is a smaller, vastly smaller, maximum 20,000, but not even sure if most of them even actually going to Ukraine, that want to join the foreign legion that Ukraine is established. And then much, much, much smaller, dozens at best, maybe a couple of hundred in the end, violent extremists, both from the right-wing side as well as from the left-wing side, who've not been called by Ukraine, but Ukraine is not capable of choosing at the moment or controlling who goes across their borders, who also joined the conflict. And there we just put out an urgent call to governments yesterday that governments should prevent the travel specifically of these individuals because they're not going to add to Ukraine in a positive sense, militarily, very unlikely. Secondly, they are perfect for Russian propaganda to say Ukraine is a Nazi state. If you have, and they advertise this openly, whether it's the Proud Boys or the Oath Keepers or German right-wing extremist groups, they say they want to go. This is ideal for Russian propaganda to say, see, the neo-Nazi is coming to join the neo-Nazi government. We must do our utmost to prevent the travel of these individuals. Also in our own interest, because these are violent extremists who go and get combat experience in an active live combat zone, something they can never get in America or in Europe. When they come back, their potential for violence and their professionalism in inserting violence is, whatever they do in Ukraine, going to be higher than it is now. So also, not only to prevent Russia from propaganda from exploiting this, but also for our own national security interests, we should make sure that these individuals are not allowed to travel.
Dr. Hans Jacob Schindler, Senior Director of the Counter-Extremism Project, JJ Green, WTOP News.